The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When Tillamook ice cream beckons you to the freezer aisle, which irresistibly creamy flavor do you choose? While you're thinking, try not to fuck up the glass. Tillamook ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. Do you guys see my shirt I'm wearing today?
Limp Bizkit is better than everyone.
Do you like it?
And it's better than a Thanksgiving biscuit.
Limp Bizkit is better than a Thanksgiving.
I think I'm going to steal that for our band.
Limp Bizkit's better than any complex carbohydrate you could have.
Do you know Limp Bizkit, the band?
Yeah, ball with the ball.
Okay, I'm just wondering if this is going over
Kid
your head
Rock,
or not.
But you're close. You're so
close.
You
know what? I'm channeling the truth of what you're talking
about. Yeah. Are you going to do this for the main? The main is better than everyone?
The main
everyone?
Is better than everyone. I think that's probably the move.
Honestly, it's one of the most iconic shirts that I've ever seen or owned in my entire life.
As long as I don't have to pay Fred Durst a royalty, yes, I will do that.
Well, me and Fred Durst are homies. We're in each other's
DMs. I saw that you DM'd each other, and I was a little jealous because... Holy shit, that red backwards hat is iconic.
Well, I mean,
and I want more information.
So, Eve Six, their most popular song in the entire world is called Inside Out. And Inside Out, he
wanna swallow my pride, but I choke on the wine, but the laughs are love, maybe empty inside. Swallow my doubt, turn it inside out, talking about the faith in nothing, hard on the bed, hard on the bed.
Okay, he says.
Wait, so we're all on the same page about what we're talking about.
Put my tender heart in a blender. And then Fred Durst took the lyric.
Well, no. So he says, heart in a blender. But and the funny thing about that is, so the singer of Eve Six is all on Twitter, and he's so fucking funny. But he refers to himself as the guy that sings the heart in the blender song,
sure.
Even though it's called Inside Out. The title of the song is Inside Out. But it's beautiful called the heart in a blender song. And I love it. It's one of my favorite songs.
Me too.
Karaoke favorite.
It's a great karaoke song.
We fucking love it.
Yep.
And
we all do, yes.
I was listening to Nookie on the radio, and in Nookie, Fred Durst refers to the term heart in a blender. And I was like, wait a second, what came first? Eve Six or Limp Bizkit? Like, who was the originator of heart in a blender?
Probably Eve Six.
And I went to Instagram.
It's probably Nookie. It's probably... What is it?
I went to Instagram and I was like, guys, you got to tell me. I tagged them both. I tagged Eve Six. I tagged Fred Durst.
Who did it?
And Fred Durst wrote me back and he was like, Eve Six did it first. He was like,
love that Fred Durst was like, gonna be honest.
But that's what I love about 2022. I have a question for Fred fucking Durst.
Love
and
you,
all
Fred.
I have to do is tag him on Instagram and he just replies to me.
Fred gets it.
It was really a burning question and I'm so glad that he responded.
I love this. And also, you know, heart in a blender. We've all been there.
We've all been there.
We really have all
my
been there.
My tender heart in
a
blender.
Oh, it still hurts, to be honest.
I know.
Every day of my life.
No one in this room has hurt each other, but we've all been hurt before. Mm.
Yeah.
And God, heart in a blender, like... Oh, kill me now.
We're going to cry over an Eve Six lyric right now. I'm in. I'll go there with you.
Like, honestly,
they channeled
pretty good.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heartbreak is miserable.
Yeah, that's very true.
Great lyric.
It's a fucking fantastic song.
So
one
good.
Of the best songs, honestly, of all time.
So,
watch
such
you
a good
down to a
song.
Beautiful oblivion.
Rendezvous
when I'm through with
okay,
you.
Enough singing. So. Sorry. That goes to me. I'm like, nobody ever wants to hear me sing, yet I sing way too much.
You
on this
are
podcast.
Perfect. Mm.
So
in the art of song.
Do we want to go into the dark day? Because it has to do
yes.
with
the answer is yes.
Take
90s
give me
music.
Give me the dark day.
I mean, wow, I wasn't even expecting
Toot
this transition.
Sweet, I need it.
So today is December 15th. And on December 15th in 1997, the iconic, the amazing.
What?
the fantastic movie Spice World was released.
Spice up your life, baby.
Into the world.
Did you have us? Were you a Spice Girl of your group of friends?
Of course I was.
Which one?
Baby Spice.
Sporty.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have seen Posh for
you. Can
you
guess which one? Yes. I was?
Ginger, baby.
Slutty Spice.
I was Slutty Spice.
No, I was in this phase where I was wearing like sports bras and like Adidas pants.
I love that.
So I was like Sporty Spice because I was really fit at the time. I was like going to the gym a lot and I was like, yeah, and I was like ripped.
I love that.
Me too.
I wanted to be baby. Same though. Here. I think everyone wanted to be baby.
Yeah. So Spice World obviously was this musical comedy film, and it was sort of the Spice Girls version of like A Hard Day's Night or Help, like a Beatles movie. It was sort of, you know,
it was like a parody upon their like a narrative
exactly.
for them. And it was so well done.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So it said it was liberally interspersed with dream sequences and flashbacks, as well as surreal moments and humorous asides, along with having an antagonist in the form of an overzealous newspaper editor who starts a smear campaign against the group in an attempt to destroy their reputation for his own benefit. So it was such a fun movie. I remember watching it over and over and over again. I'm sure everybody our age was doing the same.
I did the same.
Really?
Well, I have a younger sister. So.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. I just
true.
Love those gals. They were ahead of their time, and they were pioneers.
There's nothing like the Spice Girls.
No, and they were diverse and interesting and accepting and non-judgmental, and I fucking love them.
I love them so much. So the film grossed over $100 million at the box office worldwide, which I guess everybody was very shocked about. Everybody thought it was going
to
be a flop.
That's bananas. That's pretty insane. But, I mean, to be at the moment, if you were in like a boy band or a girl band at that moment in pop music, you were the biggest thing in the world. Like, it's actually not that shocking to me.
They really were. The dark part of this day is, despite earning so much money at the box office, it had very bad reviews.
Oh,
rude.
No.
The critics hated Spice World.
What?
So Rotten Tomatoes gave Spice World a rating of 36%.
Out of 100?
Out of 100.
It's like, what did you guys expect?
Remember? Out of how many? 37%? This is based on 67 critics with an average rating of 4.7 out of 10. One user said, Spice World's lack of cohesive plot will likely lose most viewers.
Oh, get the fuck
out
of here.
But for fans of the titular girl group, there's more than enough fun to be had in their wacky, albeit superficial, whirlwind of an adventure. But this is where it really pisses me off.
I can't wait.
Roger Ebert.
Oh, no.
He gave Spice World 1.5 stars and listed Spice World as one of his most hated films, saying the Spice Girls are easier to tell apart than the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm sorry. He's a misogynist. That is so bizarro. No, there are so many worse movies.
It's so much simpler than that. You're reviewing a movie that shouldn't get reviewed.
No, it's not for the fucking critics.
The movie is
a fan service. It is, yeah.
This is not intended to, like, ping the radar of Roger Ebert. That's not the intention of the movie.
I'm very irritated that Ebert was involved.
I hate it when people take something that's not supposed to be this thing and then try to compare
it to other things.
Okay,
it's so dumb.
Keep going.
So Roger Ebert, he said, the Spice Girls are easier to tell apart than the Mutant Ninja Turtles, but that's a small consolation. What can you say about five women whose principal distinguishing characteristic is that they have different names? They occupy Spice World as if they are watching it. They're so detached and they can't even successfully lip sync their own song. Fuck you, Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, you sound like a stale ass old generation woman hating sort of take on something. Like, truly, it's like, you know, they didn't write it, you asshole.
Why are
you know that the producers and the writers did, and that you're gonna be like, fuck these dumb bit, like, dude. I am so irritated that you can't, like, zoom out and just see things for how they are.
Why are we trusting this random man's
opinion? Why are we trusting anybody's opinion?
Other than your own.
I hate a critic.
I hate a critic.
I think it's the most useless,
dumb
bullshit.
Everyone can be one.
Yes.
Anyone who's literally never done a thing in their lives creatively can be a critic.
Everyone is a critic. Everyone is one. And that's the whole point of liking and disliking.
But then why are we holding somebody
things?
Up to this pedestal and thinking that their opinion is better than anybody
else's?
He's
really good at marketing, and he's created a niche where, like, he's like, ooh, I can generate this, like, column in any newspaper where my opinion matters. And it's marketing.
I mean, don't you, like, back in the day, Siskel? Siskel?
Sisko, the thong song?
Siskel died.
Wait, he did?
Yes, and that's why it's just Ebert. Roger Ebert now.
Well, Roger Ebert seems like a fucking dick.
Yeah, Roger Ebert.
If you're listening to
there's
us
there's no
here,
way that Roger Ebert hasn't done some bad things in his life.
You're...
Like, he is that
you're
generation...
You're a naughty man. I know it.
I know
you're
it.
You're a naughty, naughty
you're,
guy.
You don't think you're using that power... of your columnist, opinionated
you're
bullshit,
a dirty,
to
naughty
do some
man.
Bad things. I think not.
I hate any elitist bullshit. I hate any pretentious like. To be a critic is to imply that you are on a plane higher than someone else's opinion,
and
to
you're
me,
not a fucking filmmaker.
It's just like, dude.
I just think it takes a lot to do any sort of creative endeavor: podcast, book, magazine, article. I would actually truly never criticize anybody else's work, and I don't. And I don't.
But that's not the crazy thing. It's an opinion. Like, when are opinions... Why can't
no,
you stamp
like,
that as a
why
fact?
Why shouldn't everyone be like, hey, art's really hard, and we're going to, like, have forgiveness for people who don't do it perfectly, and we're going to try to... I don't know. I'm just not really into the critic vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm into the supporting vibe.
Roger Ebert, guilty.
Bye,
guilty.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, guilty.
Roger Ebert, guilty. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to go right into On the Stand. We've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. Every week, we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving it or hating it. We have a discussion. We vote if it's guilty or not guilty. We bring it to you people to vote if it's guilty or not guilty. We'll probably have one of your On the Stands to talk about today as well.
Oh, yes, I have one banked.
Who wants to go first?
Jared.
I'll go first. All today, right. On the Stand, I am putting cold leftovers, not reheating your leftovers, and just eating them at fridge temps.
Wait, are you saying it's bad to eat at fridge temps?
I feel like you like it.
I am in defense of this.
Yeah.
And the reason okay. so is, well, I love a cold pizza leftover.
Sure.
Anything noodle
but
based.
Is it a little bit better hot?
Nope.
Yes.
Okay.
Not for me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I will eat a cold leftover, but like hot's slightly more enjoyable.
For you, yeah. That sounds hot.
I think most
hot,
people agree with me.
Hot out yeah. the kitchen when it's made all day long. Okay. But once it gets cold, something about the reheating process. And now a lot of people have the air fryers now, which is a big game changer, I've heard. We don't have one. We yeah. don't have the space for one.
We have one.
One day we will have one. That's our end goal in life. But
we just need a kitchen big enough to put an air fryer in.
You just need a bigger space.
Yeah. So yeah.
You obviously can afford one. You're just not like, you don't have a spot for it.
There's no room.
Sure. Yeah. We don't need like a GoFundMe for an air fryer.
Sure,
but
no, we'll be fine.
I'll give you mine.
But I think certain dishes, not all of them, like... First off, certain dishes shouldn't even become leftovers. Like seafood, I don't think we save that. But I think like a pizza.
Never. Seafood like is not to be kept as a leftover.
No leftovers, seafood. But I think like a pizza and any noodle-based dish and even like a soup or a...
Why are you talking like that?
What are you talking
and, like,
about
what,
exactly?
Why are you going like this?
Oh, I'm trying a new...
And like looking at the ground.
Are you saying that...
Are you trying a new thing?
What should be a leftover?
I'm trying to like find my thing. Like you guys both have your thing. But like my new thing is like holding the mic weird
like,
and looking
look
at the
like
ground.
You look like you have like anxiety and you're staring at the ground and you're like too scared.
Are
to,
you okay, Jared?
Sometimes, let loose.
Sometimes when I look at too many things, I get distracted. I can't focus on my point.
But what exactly is your argument?
My argument is that leftovers should be eaten cold.
Okay.
I'm going to keep this in mind every time you eat a leftover and you go for the microwave.
Have you ever seen me do that?
No.
Yeah.
Do you agree with him?
No, I don't like leftovers.
But if you were to have a leftover, would you eat it hot or cold?
If I'm going to have a leftover, I want to make it as close to possible as its former form than... that it can be.
Same. Okay. A pizza in an oven, make it like how it was, hot leftover all the way.
Yeah, like if I like it so much that I'm keeping the rest of it to eat later, I want to make it at least taste a
I'm
little bit
even
like
eating
it
a cold leftover soup, which I think you...
Soup might be the only thing you could do a leftover.
A cold,
not cold
soup?
Not cold.
Right, but you said like a cold soup, and I was like, what?
Yeah, why
like
not?
A gazpacho.
I live my life like I'm in a hurry all the time.
Well,
even if
I don't
I'm
know
not.
About this. I don't know about this.
I'm right. saying super guilty.
I had a feeling I was walking into an ambush
guilty?
Here, but I knew,
but
I knew
love,
that.
But I actually, Jack, here's the interesting part. Jack doesn't like leftovers, and I love leftovers.
Ugh.
And I know how to redo them because I have an air fryer, and I have a, like, I know how to make leftovers. Like, I know how to recreate what they were.
Uh-huh.
But cold is not my vernacular.
Cool. All good.
Guilty. So, I'm interested to see what
not
the people
guilty
think.
Or guilty.
I'm
guilty.
Saying cold leftovers.
Cold leftovers
not
guilty.
Guilty.
All right.
Let's hear what the internet thinks.
I'll go next. I'm putting on the stand night showers.
Oh, thank God. Let's get into it.
So I'm a morning shower person. When I wake up, it's like the first thing that I have to do after I have my coffee and do my business. And I need to shower. I cannot get on with my day if I don't shower. Even when we're on tour for like Lady Gang and we're living on a tour bus with no shower, I was like, I got to figure out how to make this happen some way. Because
you shower in the morning. When you wake up, you need to have...
I can't be productive. I can't work without showering. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can't go out and run an errand without showering. Like, I must do it. So I'm like, that's... But I'm a one shower a day kind of gal. Until recently. And I've been doing a double shower. And I have been living.
Jack.
I see the light.
You.
I see the light.
Are me. Because I'm a two shower a day gal. Mm-hmm. I shower in the morning. And I shower before bed.
I'm like thinking right now, I cannot wait to get home and there's take my nightly shower.
Well, you don't know till you know, where it's like there's nothing like getting like out of a hot shower and then like drying off and getting into bed and your like bones and muscles are all relaxed. But I am a shower. I'm a two shower day gal myself. Matt showers once a day.
And morning or night?
Ooh. He's very elusive.
It's like the newlywed game.
Sometimes I'm like, have you showered today? He's like, I showered yesterday. I'm like, and I have like side eye. I'm like, okay.
Maybe I'm like not a one shower
a
day kind of guy.
I'm a sweaty, anxious person where I'm like, I need to shower as many times as possible to feel as good as I can.
He's not doing a good job of straying from the vegan stereotype.
No, but he smells so good.
He does. Like, I will say like this about
smelly,
Matt.
He's not like he, an
and he looks
guy.
Like he smells good too.
Yeah, he's yeah. so smelly. He smells good in
and
a
he
good way.
Looks like he smells
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Well, so this comes from, because Jared was having a stint of nightly showers, and I was making
and
fun
not
of him.
Morning showers?
I do night showers all the time. Yeah, but only, for a little bit, it was only night showers.
Oh. Only night.
So it depends on how active my day is. Like, if I am squeezing in the workout in the morning, which
Lord
sometimes
knows.
I do.
Yeah, right.
Then duh. But I think, for me, Now I do morning showers pretty much only because
both.
Jack kind but of like, bullied me into
was,
not doing
no,
a night shower.
He was, it was so funny because it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden he just started doing night showers and I was like, oh, you're doing your little night shower again, Jared. That's so cute. And then I started doing them and I was like,
pretty sick.
I fucking get
well,
it.
Because nothing relaxes you and gets you more primed for bedtime than a night
I have like
shower.
A night moisturizing sesh. Yes. Like, oh, it is so nice.
We were well, we were in Phoenix last week and she was like, oh, I don't feel like I feel weird. I feel gross.
You know what'll make you feel good?
Take
night
a shower.
Shower.
Take like a hot shower.
Yes.
And she did?
It fixed your life.
She was back.
No, I need to overheat a little bit. Mm. I need to sweat a bunch. I need to feel like I'm a little bit nauseous. Clear out the pores, and then I'm like, I feel like a new woman.
I am so glad you said this about being nauseous, because I'm nauseous like 3 times a day, and Matt is so confused. He's like, why are you nauseous right now? I'm like, because I'm alive. Are you serious?
Because of the struggles of everyday life?
We were getting out of the car and going to Trader Joe's. I'm like, hey, I need a minute. I'm really nauseous. You go in. And he's like, why? And he was confused. I'm like, you're not ever? I was just nauseous because.
I'm not nauseous because.
Yes, you are.
You tried to
Let's
hitch your wagon
subject.
To
Let's
Jack.
Change the subject.
But
it's fine.
I, now we need to go in on this.
This is obviously something
your
else.
Your random acts of nausea.
I thought we were on the same page, but turns out.
Okay, nighttime showers, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Yeah.
Lex, your turn.
Oh, I'm putting nausea on the stand.
Okay.
As far as understanding what's normal, because maybe I don't really understand it because I'm nauseous like 4 times a day.
Okay, so that's a lot. I will say
like,
right
when
now,
I
that's
wake
a lot
up,
of nausea. Nausea.
I said that too. When I wake up, I'm kind of nauseous.
Sometimes I'm nauseous in the morning.
I'm nauseous.
But that's because I chug coffee.
So I like take vitamins and stuff in the morning. Well, that, so I have always been told I have to eat in the morning and drink tons of water. And I do, but I'm still super nauseous.
Okay.
But then I'm nauseous again if I'm like in the car and there's like heat, like some not enough air.
How much water are you drinking every day?
So
you drink
much
a lot
water.
Of water?
So much water.
Okay.
I'm nauseous like 5 to 6 times a day. So
have you gotten like your blood panel done?
Listen, I asked my mom about this and my grandma before she died. They're both nauseous
well,
all
you
the
might
time.
Be, you might have low iron levels. And
it's not iron.
Are you sure?
Yes. They tested. They definitely tested iron. They think it's psychological.
Did okay. you live under power lines as a kid?
No, but they think it's
like a childhood trauma
they
thing?
They think it's anxiety. They don't think it's my health. They think it's...
Okay.
you know, maybe you're not breathing enough, or maybe you're not, you know, you're suddenly having to catch your breath. I don't know. But the point is I'm putting nausea on the stand.
It's probably 5G, honestly.
Probably. And I'm putting nausea on the stand because I am prosecuting it because fuck that.
No, there is nothing worse.
I don't. Right? I'm not looking forward to being nauseous.
But I am interested
sure.
in hearing what your nausea story is, because I bet the listeners, I bet 50% of people are listening and they're like, oh, me too. Because every time I talk to some people about this, it's like, hey, I'm nauseous when I wake up. I'm nauseous after getting in the shower. I'm nauseous. I literally got out of the car and I was like nauseous going to Trader Joe's. And it's like, there is something going on, and we all have to address our own health issues on our own, but it's a real thing.
So, I'm pretty rock steady when it comes to nausea. Like, but even if I do have it, my move is to just ignore it until, like,
Jared has zero body awareness. He does not know.
I'll like try
on.
To block it out till it goes away. Because the other thing, the one thing I'm more terrified of than being nauseous is throwing up. I hate.
But nausea leads to throwing.
It does. So it's a really spooky thing when it happens.
The way that you can stop nausea is to throw up. I don't think anybody's saying nausea is not guilty.
I think nausea is guilty.
Super guilty. I hate it.
The worst like, feeling. In
and
the world.
We should all just combat it head on. However, you know how to cure your nausea. That's it.
Amen, people.
Now, are we going to hear from our personal on the stand?
Yes. Ooh.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving week, all. I am calling to put something on the stand that isn't necessarily holiday themed, but I just feel like we are the age that everyone is having babies. The yard stork signs that people put out to announce a baby's arrival. I work in anti-money laundering and terrorist financing in the banking industry, and we do a lot around like knowing our customers and customer identification programs and gathering information on people. And we work very closely with fraud as well. And I just want to make it known that people who do these are actually insane to display a sign in their front yard with literally every piece of personal identification information outside of the child's actual assigned social security number. You are putting their first and middle name, their date of birth, the city they live in, their address, their last name, because your address property is public information and it is very easy to find parents' names, you know, guessing their last name for that first and middle name that you are proudly displaying in the front yard. People are adding like signs that say proud big sis, proud big brother. Now they know how many children you have. Like, I need these to stop. I think that they are just so intrusive. I mean, I think social media has just literally set the line on fire for like information that you should be sharing out in the open. And I am so passionate about these yard signs. If anyone ever bought one for us, if and when we have children, I would literally light it on fire in my front yard.
you guys go first.
I literally did not know this is
I just
thing.
Love her.
I've never heard of this happening before. Maybe it's like a Midwest thing and not
no,
a California
it is.
Thing.
I've definitely seen the stork. It's like a little stork and it's like baby girl blank or baby girl boy blank expected this time, expected whatever. And sometimes it's even like baby girl or boy arrived at blank and blank.
And they put it on their front yard.
Yeah.
That is so insane.
I have never once seen or heard about this.
Really?
I also didn't know this was a thing.
It is. I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about it before with the little stickers on people's car where it's like mom, dad, two brothers, sister, baby, where it's like, you don't want to put identifying information about you and your family out to the public and to strangers.
I hate anyone knowing personal information about me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. If I get pregnant and have kids, I don't think anyone will know. I truly mean it. Like, I think I will hide all of that. And I like that you're sort of in this vibe that no one should know anything.
Yeah.
I just think it's unsafe.
It is unsafe. And I also don't know, and we don't know what the government's going to do with our information. Social media, these are private companies. That have been like TBD on what we do with your information. LOL.
Guilty.
Yes.
Guilty for sure.
No, like stork with information on your property. Guilty.
Yes. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
100%.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes. And the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon. Ooh, fancy. Shrimp and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. TheRealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so Spice Girls theme for today's episode, Spice World.
I cannot wait.
So I, you know, as I do, I always try to look up a controversy or a conspiracy theory. There actually aren't many conspiracy theories about the Spice Girls.
They're perfect.
Wholesome act.
I thought, not even controversy, I'm saying conspiracy theory. You'd think there'd be something out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a weird fan fiction or something.
Little sweeties.
So what I did think, you know, I was thinking about Spice Girls, I was thinking about their songs, and I was thinking about the song To Become One. And I'm like, that was a song that we were singing when we were 10 years old, mm-hmm. 8 years old. And that song is about fucking. A song is about having sex, and we were just like singing it at the top of our lungs as little kids. And then it got me thinking about like all of these other songs kind of in the same vein when we were growing up in like the 90s. Okay, so Spice Girls 2 Become One. Obviously, they said, come get a little bit closer, baby. Get it on, because tonight's the night when two become one. I need some love like I never needed love before. I want to make love to you, baby. Blah, 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 blah. So that song, and we're doing like the little dance.
I was just doing this.
Yep.
Yep. Just pump like, in the air.
Yeah.
I need some love like I never needed.
When two become one.
So
if we wanted to play 30 seconds of it, we could.
If we wanted to, I'll make that call later.
We could. Okay, maybe we won't. Maybe we won't. Okay. So the next song that I got into, and this is where I started getting into a little bit of a deep dive, is Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Ooh.
So Aqua, I don't know. They were definitely European. I don't, maybe German.
Did I
German.
Hear you listening to this
or
song
Swedish,
earlier today?
Or Dutch.
One of those. Yes, I was listening to, it wasn't that song, and I'm gonna get into it. So we all know the Barbie Girl song, and we all know the lyrics for it, basically. It's like,
come on, Barbie, let's go
party. Do whatever you want with me.
It was one of my first CDs. I know every word verbatim.
Yeah. So what you probably don't know is Mattel tried to sue Aqua because the song, they said, quote, turned her into a sex object. And they said that the song violated the Barbie trademark and it tarnished the reputation of their trademark
doll. Did they win?
So they're trying to sue MCA Records because that's who Aqua was on.
Did they win?
So the lawsuit was filed by Mattel and it was dismissed. And in 2002, the judge ruled that the song was protected as a parody under the First Amendment.
That's right.
The Weird Al law, baby.
He also threw out that the defamation lawsuit that Aqua's recording company filed against Mattel. So I guess that they were both trying to like sue each other. And the guy, the judge of the trial concluded his ruling by saying the parties are advised to chill.
That yes. was his.
Wow.
Jared, were you the judge?
I mean, I would have said that.
Jared, are you honorable?
That sounds like something
Jared
I would say.
Monaco, hey, who's like, I advise you all to fucking chill, because that's ruling, something Jared would say.
My yeah. ruling is henceforth that everyone here needs to just chill out.
Chill the fuck out. That's can what everyone, I would do, too. I'd be same. Like, you guys are fucking stupid.
Get a life.
Can everyone just get a grip real
for
quick?
Real
so anyways,
times.
They both probably wasted a lot of money trying to sue each other. But in 2009, Mattel decided to embrace this outrageous pop single and adapted it for Barbie advertising.
Smart.
So they had a new version of the song that has inspirational lyrics like you can be a star no matter who you are. So they changed the lyrics and that's the version of the song that I was listening
well, they
to.
They probably licensed from them and we're
and
like
probably paid them a lot of money.
If you can't beat them, let's join them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I didn't know that.
That was
I
the,
love that.
That was the battle between Aqua and Mattel.
When Aqua obviously has won.
I mean, Aqua wins in our hearts.
They probably are so rich.
Oh, yeah.
Just from being that one hit wonder.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one is Britney Spears' Baby One More Time. Now, obviously, I mean, the full title that they were trying to name the song is Hit Me, Baby One More Time, which that is the lyrics to the song.
Domestic violence.
And there was a lot of controversy going around because it was like, is this promoting domestic violence? Is this promoting abuse? Like
gambling? Sounds like it could happen at...
Hit Me Again?
Yeah.
Blackjack dealer.
Yeah, a little blackjack.
Sure.
But Britney ended up saying the whole song is about the stress that we all go through as teens. But it was funny because when you go through the lyrics, the only lyric that has anything to do with emotional stress is my loneliness is killing me. Everything else is a little bit whatever, but you know that one of the songwriters or the songwriter of the song was Max Martin.
Absolutely.
And genius. Max Martin is Swedish, so they have a lot of different lingo for what things mean. And in their slang, hit me means call me. So he Ooh. Was, the meaning of the song was they broke up and she was feeling really lonely and she call was just, me. Call me baby one more time, we can make this work out. So... Well, and that's what I think. We watched a documentary about
yeah.
that song, and
so,
I think that they tried to make the lyrics "Hit Me Up, Baby, One More Time,"
yeah,
but it didn't.
It just
fit.
Wasn't. And
but like now, but that makes sense. It yeah. makes sense if that's what I mean, because like no one off. I had never. It had never occurred to me for Britney Spears that she wanted to be hit. Like yeah. that did never occur.
I don't
to me.
Think anybody actually.
Everyone,
but
there, hit me, so, baby, one more time means like you just hit me up one yeah. more time.
So, hit me up, baby.
So there's like a Swedish dynasty of pop songwriters. There's like it's. There's like a couple people who have written almost
like
every
song.
So
yeah, Max Martin has pretty much written every pop song.
And one of the things that they say is they kind of lean into this idea that the lyric itself isn't necessarily that important.
Sure.
If you think about Hit Me Baby One More Time, you don't really think about the lyrics of that song whatsoever.
So they also wrote
they never until now.
It's just a hook.
No.
It's just something that just is a hook. and it's a couple words together that make that hook happen, you're not even really focusing on what it means.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're musical geniuses in that sense. That they're like, whatever fits in this song is what's going to fit in it. They also wrote, I Want It That Way, I'm pretty sure, by the Backstreet Boys. Yeah. And it was the same thing. It's like, what is I Want It What Way? Like, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. I do want it that way.
And my way.
Exactly. So
have it your way.
Love that. That's such a good little tidbit of information.
Yep.
So another good tidbit of information is the song was originally written. Do you want to guess? Who do you think it was originally written for?
For I Want It That Way?
No. Who do you think Hit Me Baby One More Time was originally written for?
Rihanna? Christina Aguilera?
She wasn't around. Who do you think?
Christina Aguilera? I think?
I'm going to go with...
Christina Aguilera.
You're going to be wrong, whatever it is.
I'm going to say...
Haley.
Elton John.
It was originally written for TLC.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
Damn, yes. That's crazy.
So it was originally written for TLC, who turned it down. And
they're like, we're chasing waterfalls, bitch. No time for this.
T-Boz replied to the reaction of like turning it down. And she was like, I was like, I like this song, but do I think it's a hit? Do I think it's TLC? I'm not saying Hit Me Baby. No disrespect to Britney. It's good for her, but was I going to say Hit Me Baby One More Time? Hell no. So they turned it down.
That's fair. Because it is all context. And you have to know your context. And she was also, hey, Britney was a child. She was 16.
Yeah. Well,
her people were deciding what she was doing. And T-Boz, I think that's very deliberate and important.
Yeah. I could never, ever imagine.
It's very...
Baby One More Time being a TLC song.
No. But
it's very easy after the fact to be like, oh, well, this was a no-brainer.
Everything
it's
in
like,
hindsight,
you know,
is super easy to be like, I would have never done that.
Yeah.
But, you know...
It totally. Said that the album was the... Obviously, I mean, this comes as no surprise, but it was the most sold album by a teenage girl ever of all time. I mean, there's no way anybody else can sell more music than that.
Absolutely not. So I love that.
My last song that I want to talk about the lyrics before we move to the Worsty Firsty is NSYNC, Digital Get Down. Do you remember
Digital,
that song?
Digital, Digital Get Down.
Do you remember that song?
Just
I do
you
that
and
song.
Me.
So,
oh, I know it verbatim.
Oh, yeah. So it's one of my favorite NSYNC songs. And obviously, if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's about cyber sex. And we were singing that song, too, when we were like little kids.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. But you're right.
Yeah. There's like a lyric in the song where he goes... I get so excited when I'm watching, girl. I can't wait to see you touch your body, girl. It's just me and you, so we can do what we got to do. But yeah, he's like, I'm calling you on the phone. I wanted like whatever the lyrics are.
Subscribe to your OnlyFans.
But the funny thing about this is when that song came out, it was before video chat. So they basically invented cyber sex video chat.
Wow.
Yeah. What is it? Luke Perlman, who all those people are underneath. Oh, yeah. We won't get into that right now, but I do think it's super interesting that you bring this up because it had never occurred to me because I love Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. The lyrics, I actually never spent any time thinking about.
Oh, yeah. I just always
like, digital,
did.
Digital, get down. Woo! Yeah. I'm like, who knows what that means and who cares?
And this is what I was saying. It's like a lot of these things, and again, it's so easy after the fact to be like, oh, of course people are just going to love this no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, there wasn't a lot of emphasis on like intellectual lyric writing when they were making these pop songs. And that holds true today, but you know, you just you can try to break it down and it's, I would argue that it's gotten even further away from meaning in lyrics nowadays than it even was then. And I think this was kind of the beginning of that sort of phenomenon in pop music.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely with these Swedish songwriters that they just don't put emphasis on lyrics the way that I think a lot of maybe American songwriters do.
Well, it also, yeah, exactly. And it also leaves it in this gray area where the song could be about this thing and you never even realized, which
right,
is all three of us just sat here and did that for all of these songs.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to see the worst things that you people have ever done.
Bosch tools are built for workers. The Bosch X-Lock grinder switches wheels up to 5 times faster than standard grinders, helping you go from grinding to cutting more quickly. Bosch tools, what hard workers deserve. Learn more at BoschTools.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, naughty friends. So, we're going to talk about how bad you are, but we're going to make you feel better about it. So, let's just dive right into it, unless any of you have confessions.
No. Let's dive in.
Okay. This is the worst thing that I've done, I'm pretty sure. This is about the time that I decided I was going to stop a lunch thief. But first, we have to go back to the beginning. I started a new job at a college, and I was a secretary. We had a communal lunch area, and I used to bring my lunches to work because single mom, no money, and I was on this thing where I had to lose weight, or wanted to. So I start bringing these beautiful lunches to work, lettuce wraps, salads, sandwiches, things like that, and it was saving me a lot of money. But my lunches were disappearing. And I guess apparently it had been happening for a while. And so I decided I was going to fix the problem. So I went to the store and I bought delicious deli meat and cheese, beautiful artisan bread, and I made this beautiful sandwich. But I also bought a habanero. And I sliced it up with the membranes in there and stuck it in the folds of the sandwich because I made it like it looks like on TV because I had to make it something, right? Well, we never found out who the thief was, but when I went back to check on the sandwich that was left in the fridge, only half of it was gone. And lunches never disappeared after that point. It's probably not the nicest thing I've ever done, but I fixed a problem that nobody was willing to fix, and I still got my lunches after that point. So screw that fucking thief. Have a good day, guys. Love your show.
A spicy surprise.
A spicy surprise. Gotcha.
I love that. There's nothing better. It's like the justice. It's like,
I mean, we always say it's a victimless crime. These are the crimes that we love the best. Nobody really got hurt. Somebody's butthole probably got hurt a little bit. But other than that, you know what?
You served up a hot, spicy plate of karma.
And at the end of the day, you won because your lunches stopped getting stolen. So whoever was the thief, they learned their lesson. They never did it again. And hopefully it was a lesson that they took later into life with them,
you know,
and beyond.
I love this for you, and I think that you did absolutely nothing wrong. I think, if anything, you did the most right thing you possibly could have.
Yeah.
I don't know. To steal someone's lunch is such the bold, insane thing to do. I would never take something that didn't belong to me in a fridge. If someone had, like, especially if it was in their Tupperware, like, from home.
Weird.
If someone had, like, had, like, a Taco Bell burrito that had obviously not been opened, like, that's tempting.
Oh, for sure.
I will steal someone's sealed shut situation. To steal someone's packed from home lunch is a level of insanity and also sadness and emptiness that I will never understand.
I just also think it's such a bold move to steal somebody's food in a workplace, because it's like, that's so fucking embarrassing once you get caught.
Yeah.
And you get reprimanded for doing something so childish as stealing lunch.
Well,
you're an adult at a professional job and you're stealing your coworker's lunch.
You also don't know how that man makes his food. He could not even wash his hands, and he's like making a wrap and not washes his hands. I'm just so grossed out by other people's food, and the fact that, like, I know when I grew up, you guys grew up in the same time as me, and it's like the class mom is bringing in all these foods. I can't believe I ate that, because who knows what they were doing at home?
Who knows? You never know.
Truly.
You don't know.
I hate to break it to you, but we're eating food that other people prepare literally all of the
time.
And
I'm not okay with any of it.
Unless you're preparing it at home, somebody's hands
I'm
are making
I'm not
it
okay
there.
With it. But, like, we all have to know that there's, like, a couple bugs in there, a couple hairs in there. Like, we gotta get over it.
I picture anytime I pick up food, I picture myself making it and washing my hands, and I,
but
that's
you
how
don't.
I eat it. comfortably.
Jared washes his hands. I've seen him do it.
Well, that's where you get into your, it's a little slippery slope. I just like to close my eyes. Ignorance is bliss. The restaurant kitchens are probably not great, but neither is anything. And that's what really gives our immune system a little boost is those bugs.
And besides and that, you know what? This was a personal attack on you. And there's a special kind of asshole who, first off, to steal stuff is one thing, but to steal stuff routinely from someone who you're around day in and day out. Crazy
to steal
move.
Someone's lunch from a cohabitating work environment is provocative.
That's what I'm saying. It's so bold.
He's asking for violence.
Yep.
Yeah. And I fucking, that's where you really wish you could see a surveillance camera and you could fucking
catch
the maniac.
You know what? Sweetie Pie, you can install one and you should.
All right. Well, there's one thing left. You got to really figure out what you're doing for the stanza.
So it's Costanza stanza time. And I think what we should do is...
I like how now we're a part of it.
Everyone does a line.
Jack and Jared are into this. So I think
like a freestyle rhyme.
Isn't it fun?
Start us off.
So you start the line. You don't have to rhyme it, but you start the line.
I need some love like I never needed love before.
I charge into this relationship like Kramer charges through a door.
Wow. And Jerry tries to date a lot of women, but they turn out to all be a bore.
This just snaps. That's end of poem.
Thank you.
End of poem. End of episode.
Bye.
End of episode. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bosch tools are built for workers. The Bosch X-Lock grinder switches wheels up to 5 times faster than standard grinders, helping you go from grinding to cutting more quickly. Bosch tools, what hard workers deserve. Learn more at BoschTools.com.